The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3 Philadelphia.
From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. So we sat here and we were trying to fix all the microphones before the show started. So I was supposed to rewrite the intro to the show because last week we said the intro was terrible. I was supposed to rewrite the intro to the show, and I was hoping to take that time to do that. And we have all these technical difficulties. So if you guys are hearing an echo right now, we apologize. We tried to work it out for the last half an hour. We tried to fix it. So if you hear it, my apologies. Stay tuned. Still enjoy the show. But I didn't write a new intro.
And so, we are in our studio. We're not in an aquarium. So if you
right,
if it sounds like we're in an aquarium, we're not in an aquarium.
We are in a toilet bowl, though.
So you want to do like a mini intro to just say who we are and what's going on?
Well, that's what I was going to do. That's what I was going to discuss with you. Let's discuss it right now.
Okay.
How do we do an intro? So I'm Larry Steinhaus. Welcome to Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Debbie Anderson, and
Omri, who just keeps showing up every week.
Yeah,
Omri just shows up. And we also have a guest in the audience. We have Carl Fisher. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Carl Fisher from Camaplan. But what else should we say? Should we say the call-in number?
We should say the call-in number.
855-939-1137.
And you have to say it like six times,
it's
right?
855-939-1137.
Go ahead. Keep going, Omri.
Again, it's 855-939-1137.
How about the website?
Well, we don't need the website yet. So
no,
this is the call-in number. So when people want to call in and want to ask us questions, they can call in. The really weird part is I don't even think we're on Facebook right now. So that's even odder that we're not on Facebook either, so nothing's working.
So if somebody hears us, please shout.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the show, 855-939-1137. Hey, let me know if you can actually hear us in your car, because nobody can see us on Facebook because that's not working. We got this echo going on in the studio right now. I don't know. Maybe
we're not even live.
Maybe we're not even here.
Yeah, exactly.
We must not be on. But somebody can always text me, and I can always check. You know,
I think
Larry,
we're dreaming.
You know, Larry, it seems to have straightened itself out or rectified itself when you started the show. Take this information for what it's worth. When you started the show, you started talking. I went, oh no, because I heard it, and then about after 10 seconds, it just dispelled. And you don't have
it
right
so
now.
So good.
So must just be because we can't restream. We can't stream it online right now because the online streaming is not working, apparently.
Oh,
so maybe because the online streaming didn't work, that God said, "Hey, we'll give you a partial good show instead of a completely bad show."
It's only because Carl's on today, because Carl brought his big luck with him today. Right. Like, what's up with that? Come on.
I don't know. I see the live on air signs lit up, so that's my job.
That's so funny. So I don't know what's going on. Everything's blowing up right now. So so if you can see us online, great. If you can't,
there we go.
Online. All right,
yay! We got one thing working. That's awesome.
So now all our fans are going, okay, this show is so boring. We always talk about stuff, and that has nothing to do with real estate. It has nothing to do with stock options or anything else. But we're eventually going to get to our guest, who will actually tell you why he's here in a few minutes. But okay, so anyway, real quick, Investor Schooling Live. What do we do? What do we do in Investor Schooling, Dr. Deb?
We teach people how to become financially independent.
How to make money. I love it, right? So we teach people how to make money. That's the coolest thing that we do here in Investor Schooling. And you can go to investorschooling.com and you can actually sign up for a free class right now. And on Thursday, it will teach you how to do some really cool stuff. I never set up your camera. I mean, I don't even have a camera on you.
It's okay. People know how I look. They don't know my name, but they don't know how to spell your name either. Yeah, exactly.
I know. I got three cameras on Dr. Deb, and I got no camera on you.
I got no camera on Carl.
She's a co-host.
Well, she's a lot better looking.
There you go. So yeah, I always need one on me because it makes me feel better. There you
stop
go.
Because I'm.
We got the online working.
Sold.
You know what happened when we got the online working?
Uh huh.
As soon as we got the online working, the echo came back.
Oh well.
So maybe it's that. So we got new problems. Maybe it's back. I don't know. Maybe. All right, so we got, let me see if I get a camera on Carl. So why don't you start talking about something while I fix the camera for Carl?
All right, so what are we going to talk about, Omri? You're flooding in about something. So what do we have?
We can talk about the amazing class we had on Thursday.
It was a good class.
I really, really enjoyed that. I was never into stock option trading.
So for people who don't know what we did last Thursday, Ari went over the rules. We have a set of rules that he made up, you know, way back when. And the rules are set up to not lose money. So as a result of not losing money, you end up making money. And I think it's, what, like 10 or 12 rules or 15?
17 rules.
See, I don't even know. Or whatever.
People come with the assumption that stock option is so risky.
But well, like, it can be, but we teach them a part-time way that's not as scary to
do. Exactly.
Yeah. So and usually when people come in, it takes 4 to 6 weeks before they do their first stock option. And they have to answer a bunch of questions before we let them do it to make sure that they know what they're doing. And a lot of it is just, you know, looking at the stocks and seeing what it's doing throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I always talk about the 10:30 drop and the 2:30, you know.
How many stocks? Seven, five?
Six.
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 So only six stocks.
So why only the six stocks?
You tell.
So because you can't ever look at more than six stocks. And when you're trading, you're not even trading six. You're usually only trading two or three, maybe four. You're never trading all six.
We don't want you to be in front of four screens extended from your computer.
Right, so we don't teach day trading. Yeah, that's something exactly. That we don't do. Something we don't teach day trading here. So it's day trading is game plan.
All right, I don't know if we're streaming online anymore. It keeps cutting in and out. But I will tell you that that's exactly right. You guys are great. I now have a camera on Carl. So I want to take a minute to introduce our guest. And I never did. I never even set up. See, this is what happens, Glenn, when we have technical problems. You know, the half hour before the show, I like to relax. I like to talk to people, find out who they are. Now, I've known Carl for a long time now, so it's a good thing. So Carl owns a company called Camaplan. And what Camaplan does, if you guys know, I often talk about investing money, either money or in real estate. You can either invest your money by lending money to people, or you can buy real estate, but you can do that in your IRA. And the coolest thing about doing that in your IRA is, wow, you want to talk about making some heavy-duty returns. Obviously, I can't guarantee that. But you can make some heavy-duty returns by buying real estate. You can buy a property. Maybe it goes up 50% a couple of years, and you sell that property, but it stays within your IRA, and you don't pay taxes on that until a certain event. If it's a Roth IRA, you never pay taxes on that, which is really neat. But you need a custodian in order to do that because you're not allowed to touch the money. So Carl Fisher, who is our guest today, owns a company called Camaplan. And in that company, they are the custodian for your money. So welcome, Carl.
Hey, thanks a lot, Larry and Dr. Deb and Omri. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so thank you very much for being here, actually. We're excited for you to be here because, you know, we send a lot of our students to become clients of Camaplan because they take their money from, you know, so-and-so investment that might begin with an F or might begin with, you know, some other mutual fund that they can take all the money from, and then we send them to you. They put their money there, and then you lend that money out to buy real estate. We send a lot of our students to you. So how does it actually work? How does the whole Roth IRA, IRA, self-directed IRA system work?
Well, that's a pretty diverse question. But basically, you touched on the Roth IRA is tax-free, and I want to tell your listeners right now, I'm biased towards tax-free, so I think people should be looking at Roth IRAs, and the main reason I think that's it is because I think taxes will go up in the future, so you can pay the tax at this rate, and then everything that grows in your Roth will be tax-free. In the traditional, you'll get a tax break, but then everything you make in the future, when you pull it out, you'll be paying taxes on it, and in my opinion, at a higher rate. And the self-directed IRA can be a Roth or a traditional, or even an employer plan, such as SEP or Simple, which you can put in more money. But basically, being self-direction means you have a broader spectrum of investments that you can choose from. I.e., you can do, as you talked about, be many bank and lend money. You can buy actual real estate, whether it be a condominium, a single family home, part of a multifamily apartment building. It doesn't matter, raw land. So the other thing that I'd really like to talk a little bit about is, since we were talking in the beginning about trading options, you can also do real estate options in your IRA.
That's interesting too. Yeah, sure.
You know, so it just gives you a lot more benefits or a lot more assets to choose from if you go with the self-directed. Now, at Camaplan, don't sell any assets. We don't tell you whether they're good or bad. You have to do your own due diligence and use something like investor schooling to get your feet wet and understand it and talk to the people that either your teachers or the other people in the class that have learned this. But it's a great tool. You're talking about making money. I think it helps you make money, but better off, I know it saves you money.
Yeah, so real quick, if anybody wants to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. We're talking about self-directed IRAs, which I would bet that 95% of the people listening to this show right now have never heard of the term self-directed IRA, or if they did, they were taught it wrong. I'll explain that in a minute, but I want to continue with the phone number, 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137 is the phone number if you want to call in. So here's what I believe most people think an IRA is. Most people think an IRA is an investment that such and such a broker sells you, and they can just happen to take tax deduction for that investment that such a seller sells you. Because when I say to people, hey, you know, you can move your IRA into real estate, like, no, I can't. That's invested in the mutual fund thing that, you know, my broker, who doesn't know anything about anything else but what he sells, I make fun of brokers all the time, doesn't know anything about anything about what he sells, is all you can do that, all you can do with it. So that's why I think people have no idea what an IRA is. Why don't we start with just the concept of what an IRA really is?
Okay, well, an IRA, you know, if you go back to the 1970s, they introduced IRAs, and what they allowed American citizens to do is have these IRAs and put money away for the future and reward you for doing that. Their reward was basically not to charge you tax on that money now because you were solidifying your retirement and theoretically helping out Social Security.
So if you put what's the limit now this year? 7,000?
7,000, yeah.
So if you put in 7,000 this year, but then I think it was 2,000 when it was, right?
Yeah, it was 2,000, but because of inflation and those expenses, you're allowed to put more and more in there. And then in 1998, they made the Roth IRA.
Well, before we go to Roth, I want to finish with the IRA because I want people to understand what an IRA really is. Now, some people are going, oh, this is so boring. I know this. But I'm telling you, you need to understand fully what it is because it is not an investment.
No.
It is a vehicle or an envelope that you put investments in.
Right. A tax advantage plan. Think of it as a trust.
Sure.
Okay. That's how the IRS sometimes calls it. So it's basically a trust with tax advantages.
Right. So now people can have this IRA that they contribute to. This year, $7,000. When it first started again, it was $2,000. And they can get, if they contribute to an IRA, if they're a regular W-2 employee, they can now deduct that amount that they put in from their earnings that year.
Right, exactly.
They pay less taxes because they did that.
If they paid $100,000, they don't pay taxes on $93,000.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's better than the tradition.
So it's 100%. 100% of the $7,000 you can put every year on your IRA can count as a tax expense?
Well, it's not
tax deduction.
As a deduction, sure. Yes.
Yeah, tax deduction, right.
Yes.
Yeah. But there are disadvantages to that. We'll get into that in a second. Now, and you said it before, Carl, is that at the end of, and is it 65 now I can take the money out?
59 and a half.
Okay, right, because I'm mixing up with HSA. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and right. You can take it out sooner. We've got ways to help people do that. It's called 72T distributions, but that's for another show.
Yeah, definitely for another show because I've never heard of that. So that's interesting. Break that down because I don't know what that is. That's the first time somebody mentions something, but Carl's a genius.
Okay.
First of all, you know what Carl's background is?
No.
He was a rocket scientist.
Oh, were you real? So my daughter is actually going to school for aerospace engineering. We should have a discussion.
Where is she?
At Penn State.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she's going to her second year, so she just started school this
week. Hold on, I get back to IRAs.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay.
This is more interesting. Come on, aerospace, come on. Yeah, I didn't have to perform rocket science.
Hey, this is now the Debbie and Army show. I'm going home. What else is new? Every week I have the same argument with you guys.
You're going to mute us in a second, right?
Come on, that's so cool.
Mute. Okay.
All right.
So now people take this money out at 59 and a half or later, and they are taxed on everything that comes out, not just the money they put in, but any profit they made, they're taxed on that.
Yeah, well, let's just say they put $7,000 in for 10 years. they'd have $70,000, and let's say they tripled that money, so they'd have $210,000,
right. Okay.
Based on their investments. Now, if they pull that $210,000 out, it gets added to their salary of that year, and they pay taxes on it.
Right, which could be pretty bad for some people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would probably put you, you know, if, depending on what you made, you know, on your W-2, et cetera, it could put you at the, you know, 37% range, right?
And
yeah. Well, and then you have state tax and things too, depending on what state you're in.
Right. So then someone, some genius named Roth, came up with the Roth IRA. And why don't we talk about that, what that one is right now?
Okay. So the Roth IRA is a little bit different, but again, it's considered a trust. It's a tax advantage plan. But when you put your $7,000 into the account and declare it a Roth, you don't get the $7,000 deduction like Omri just talked about. But what happens is this money goes into this Roth IRA / trust, and it's already taxed because you're going to pay tax on the $100,000 that you made. So everything that that makes, you know, for the next long, you have it in there. Let's use our same example. Let's say you did it for 10 years and you had $70,000 in there and you made $210,000. You pull that $210,000 out, you're going to have $210,000.
Tax-free money.
Tax-free. That's what you get. Like in the traditional, you pull it out, and let's just say you had to pay a third of it, you know, a 33% tax bracket, then you'd be paying $70,000 in taxes and only net $140,000.
Right. So everybody asks me the same question, like, should I do a Roth IRA or a regular IRA? And the answer that I almost always give, almost always, because there are always exceptions to almost always, is to do a Roth IRA. And this is exact reasons why. You are taxed on the seed, and you're not taxed on the fruit, which is fantastic. And that is what we do. Now, if you have an IRA, you can also convert that IRA into Roth IRA, but I want to give you a phone number real quick in case anybody has any questions on this. 855-939-1137 is the phone number. 855-939-1137. Any question you want, anything that has to do with money, but we're talking about IRAs, Roth IRAs, and we're talking about self-directed IRAs in a moment, because that's really good stuff, self-directed IRAs. 855-939-1137 is the phone number. 855-939-1137. You're listening to Larry Sinehaus, Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deb, and also Omri, and also, of course, Carl Fisher from Calaplan. 855-939-1137. Okay, let's get into what you do. So now people have this money, and you know they bring it to a broker, which is typically what happens. The broker says, "Hey, you're supposed to open up an IRA," and they put it into any mutual fund or whatever investment that the broker suggests. And that's what they sell them. And all of a sudden, they never knew that there's something called a self-directed IRA, or some brokers call their IRA self-directed, and they have five plans that the person can choose from inside that self-directed IRA. So it's limited self-directed IRA is what I call it.
Yeah.
But now you have what's called Calaplan, which is the company that lets people self-direct their IRA into almost anything that's an investment.
Yeah, anything except life insurance and collectibles, basically, people can invest in. And you know, another way, a lot of people understand 401ks, an IRA and a 401k are very similar. And 401ks can be self-directed as well. But you bring up a good point, like some of the brokerage houses will say, hey, this is a self-directed IRA. But you only self-direct in what they sell.
Right.
And I told you at the beginning, we don't sell anything.
Right.
So you can you pick and choose based on your knowledge and expertise, because that's where the risk is minimized when you're using your knowledge and expertise. So that's what you get to choose to do.
Minimized or maximized.
Yeah.
Right. So
minimize your risk, maximize your returns.
Right. But also, so if somebody doesn't know what they're doing with their IRA, they probably should not move their money into a self-directed IRA.
Exactly.
So they need to have education. Of course, that's what investor schooling is all about. We educate things, places you can invest your money, you know, not just your IRA, but any money at all. We educate them, and then you go off and do what you want, how to invest it. If you want to invest in real estate, you can do that. If you want to invest in stock options, you can do that. Stock market, you do that. Even if you want to invest in, could you won't do gold and silver, or will you?
No, we do gold and silver.
Do? Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do gold and silver.
And your self-directed IRA as well? Yeah,
private placements.
Are you doing Bitcoin yet?
We're not doing Bitcoin.
Okay, good. I hate that stuff.
Well, I mean, we'll allow people to create an LLC with their IRA, and then that LLC will go out and buy the Bitcoin, but it's too hard for me to understand, and I don't, you know.
You don't want the risk for your client.
Right.
I don't blame you. So, Dr. Deb, you like I, we borrowed money from people's IRAs before.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is we have to talk to them, so we have to educate them on how to use their IRA, and they move their money. We use Capital Plan. We just use it because I love Carl. He's a great guy. I mean, you know, Carl doesn't get any commission. We don't care. But you don't even make that much money, which is interesting too. But that's another story. But
low margins,
yeah,
high volume.
So if somebody, for example, somebody buys an asset. Let's say they buy a house or they lend money to Dr. Deb. What is the fee in their IRA?
We have two ways of doing fees, but basically, I like in most cases. You base it on the asset. So if you're buying a $100,000 house or a $1 million farm, we charge $300 a year for that asset. And then when you buy it, it's $150 at the closing in and out.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And, so it's $300 a year is all the fees you charge. So think about people who have IRAs with brokers, the amount of fees that they get charged every year just for the privilege of the broker putting them into an account that they can make commission on top of it.
Well, yeah, but you also have to understand that for us, it doesn't make a difference if it's, you know, $1 million piece of property or 100,000. You know, it's the exact same paperwork. My sister and I started the company and we're investors, so we wanted a business model that was for investors.
Hey, Amri and I are buying a 23-unit apartment building. Do you want to invest?
It depends on what it is. I mean, now you're asking me this on the air, and you haven't told me anything about it. Who's done the due diligence?
Omri? The reason I'm asking you on the air is because I want to put you on the spot.
There you go. Did you put the camera pan sticker on, bumper sticker on the Model T yet?
I will if you lend us the money on this.
Okay, how much do you need?
$1.3 million.
That's the second offer I've gotten this week for $1.3 million.
Maybe it's the same.
Yeah.
No.
So can I ask a question regarding the IRA?
Yeah, of course.
I have two questions. First of all, what happened?
Boy, give him an inch, he takes a yard, huh?
You're understanding Omri. Now
I can't
you're
get
finally
the break.
Getting
he said, can I
now you're guessed. Understanding he, Omri. He just shows up.
He says
he's not invited. He just shows up every week and he just shows up and then he shows up to class half the time.
Yeah. Can I have a question? So. No, I have two.
No, it's Omri. It's typical Omri.
I don't know.
They changed
like
the lock. I need to go from the window. It became ridiculous.
We keep closing the door and he keeps opening it up, finding another technical way to get
in. So I always look at the worst scenario ever. What happened in case I have somebody in my family very sick and I need the money out now? I have a surgery abroad. I need to pay the tax according to the current year or according to the year that I put the money in.
No, the current year. If you, your age, you're a young man.
Uh-huh.
If you pull your money out of your IRA, your traditional IRA, before you're 59 and a half, you pay a 10% penalty. But there's 7 exemptions to that.
Okay.
And, you know, like if you're buying a first-time house, you can take some out. If you're sick, you can take some out. So there are some exemptions to that where you don't pay the penalty,
okay,
but you'll always pay the tax. Now, in a Roth IRA, you can take out any of your contributions. So in our example, if you put $70,000 in there and you needed, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, you could pull that out without any penalties. And I always tell people, if you have a savings account for a rainy day, you should turn it into an IRA, because then you have asset protection. Because if you get sued, IRAs are not assets that creditors can go and take from you.
Okay.
Okay. So if you do it in a Roth, you know, all your contributions are always available to you with no tax and no penalty.
Okay, so you take the money from the IRA. You're not borrowing from the IRA.
No,
correct?
You take it as a distribution.
Okay, I understand.
Right, so you can do it in hardship.
Yeah. Well, and let's just say you needed it for a surgery. The surgery got done, and it was half price. You could put that money back within 60 days and pay no penalties too.
Amazing.
So okay. You can basically borrow your IRA money for up to 60 days without a problem once a year.
I like that, huh?
That, yeah.
Here, I got something even cooler for you. So if you put money into a Roth IRA, right, check this out. You put money into a Roth IRA, so January 1st, you put in money for 2023, for example, you put in $7,000 into the Roth IRA for 2023. And you turn that $7,000 into, I don't know, $14,000.
Would you?
You can actually pull the original $7,000 back out with no penalties and no tax.
Yes.
You could actually make money on the phantom money and keep doing that every year.
So the IRA made 100%. You can take your initial investment.
Only with a Roth IRA.
Yes, yes.
Just with the Roth IRA. It's a Roth IRA.
And it's tax-free.
Yes. So remember that you put the $7,000 in. You're not getting a tax deduction for that, remember?
Yeah, I know.
You paid the tax.
Right. You already paid the tax. So now when you pull that $7,000 out 6 months later, let's say you double the account and you pull the $7,000 out 6 months later, you still have $7,000 in that account. But you pulled $7,000 out because you had $14,000, you pulled $7,000 out, which is your original investment. That $7,000 is free money that's not taxable forever.
And you can continue to make money on it. It's a great tool.
And the $7,000 that you just earned, all over your $7,000, are also tax-free.
Yes.
If you keep them until 59.
Right.
Correct. Or you use one of the other exemptions to get it out.
Amazing.
And this is why I tell people often, you know what else I did? I never transferred the phone number either. That's why I got people calling me on my phone. Because we had all these technical difficulties. I'll tell you what, Glenn, do me a favor. Go to a commercial. I got to fix a bunch of things that I didn't do that I normally would have done while we're trying to figure in that echo. So let's take a commercial and we'll come right back. We'll talk to Carl Fisher some more about IRAs and Roth IRAs. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to investorschooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. Investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinitz. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinitz wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to investorschooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. Investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. The opportunity to retire with a great big real estate portfolio is coming quickly, and you want to learn how to do it. We all know the downturn is around the corner. What does that mean to you? You need to learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, like how to buy discounted properties with absolutely no money out of your pocket. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can you learn how to do it? Yes, you can. Go to investorschooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. Investorschooling.com.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that moment in time, her life changes forever. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson.
Hi, everybody. Oh, I'm not allowed to say anything.
Sorry. You do to her.
All right. Finished it, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ever since I put it on again, everybody wants to change the rules of radio.
No, I always used to say hello. You always gave me a minute to say hello.
Okay, ready? Hold on 1 second. Here we go.
All right.
I'm Larry Steinitz. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with my host, Dr. Debbie Anderson.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Okay. I'm also here with Omri.
Am I on?
live radio.
And of course,
folks.
We're here with what,
live radio, folks.
Of course, we're here. We're, wait, what did he say?
He
we're
said that we are on live on radio.
He's on live radio.
We are on live.
Of course, we're here with our wonderful producer Glenn, who you know also interrupts the show.
Woo-hoo!
You know, and then of course we have the nice, polite Carl Fisher, who used to be a rocket scientist, who is such a rocket scientist that he applied rocket science logic to money and opened up Camaplan, which is a self-directed IRA company, which is amazing to me, absolutely amazing to me that he did. Now, there's not a whole lot of companies that do what you do, right?
No, not a lot of them. There's been there was more a while back, but they've created more and more rules and regulations with the IRS that has created barriers to entry in most cases.
So, Carl, I have a question. I'm just going to just interrupt you for 1 second. So how did you – I'm not sure how I see the progression from rocket science to self-directed IRAs. Like, what happened there?
I graduated school, went to work at Kennedy Space Center, was working on the shuttle program, launching men into space. Long story short –
You were in charge of the O-rings, were you?
No,
that would explain it.
No, no, nope, I wasn't. But you know, they overrode the rules that we put in place.
Oh,
but
okay. Really? Wow.
When I was there, we started moving towards away from manned space flight in the 90s, and they were talking about it, and then they were talking about giving it to the Russians, et cetera. So it kind of, I lost more interest in it when we were selling our manned space flight out there.
Okay.
And my dad died in that time frame, and I actually borrowed some money from somebody that had a self-directed IRA, and he was making 12 to 16%. And I looked at what he did, and I said, well, this is a pretty nice thing. I'm going to do it, too.
Okay.
And I had a sphere of influence, and you know, I'm the oldest of 12 kids, plus I was with a lot of engineers, and they wanted to use it. So they said, why don't you start a company? And I said, okay, when my sister graduated college and knew how to do the back office and the trust accounting work.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
So that's amazing, right?
That's the transition.
Okay.
And well, we were, you know, we grew up with real estate parents and grandparents.
Okay.
Well, I know about 150 investors personally that are very happy you did this.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably thousands.
No, I mean, I personally know about 150, but you're right. There are thousands and thousands of investors that are very happy that you do this, too.
Yes.
But I probably know 150 of them. That's pretty good. I know that, you know, Army still hasn't done his Roth IRA yet.
Finally, I can do it.
You need to do your Roth IRA.
Finally.
This year, you need to put your money into your Roth IRA.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. 7,000.
Yeah, is it 7,000 for under 50, or is it?
It's 6,500 for under 50, and 7,500 for over.
So you can only put in 65. I could put in 7,000. You know why I could put in 7,000, and you can only put in 65?
Talk to me.
Because I'm dumber than you.
Okay, because you started it in an older age.
Well, because what we're trying to do is people over 50 to try and say, hey, you guys messed up this whole time.
You can save more.
I'm gonna give you a second chance to put a little bit more in.
Okay.
So that's why I say I'm dumber than you, because I didn't start my Roth IRA until I was about 53.
But you still have your 401k.
Yeah, but yeah. So I had several 401ks. So I'm like what most people do. You leave your job, and the 401k sends you a letter, and they say, hey, you could keep it here. You could send it over. You could roll it over to an IRA. You could take the money. You know what most people do?
Take the money.
So pay I've done that 4 or 5 times taxes in my life. And now I regret it. I didn't regret it then, but now I regret it. So it's a big mistake. If you have a 401k, do not take that money and use it for anything. Take that money, roll it over into an IRA, and if you want to, you can take your IRA and turn that into a Roth IRA. Let's actually get into that conversation, because that is very good for a lot of people, but not for everybody. So if you already have an IRA, I'm just going to preface it before you answer. If you already have an IRA, and let's say you have $100,000 in your IRA that you've been putting away, and then all of a sudden somebody tells you about the Roth IRA, and now you want to use the Roth IRA concept, but you already have this $100,000, you've been putting money away for 20 years, whatever, and you have this IRA, how do you convert it into a Roth IRA?
That's a good question, but it's pretty simple. You can basically take all of the money, or you can take a part of the money. Let's say you're almost getting ready to retire, and you're going to be off of your, you're not going to get your salary next year. That might be a good, that wait till that next year to where your salary goes down to convert it. But the other side of it, if you're young and you've got a lot of deductions, like Omri's age, you might just be able to convert it all in 1, 2, or 3 years, or you could take 10 years and take 10% each year so that you don't pay the big hit on the taxes. Now, there's another book out there called Keep It by Joe Luby, which it's easy to convert the money in, when it's in stocks or bonds or cash, because you know the actual value of it on the day you're going to convert it. Now, if you have a building, you know, or a single-family home or a condominium, you'll have to get an appraisal. But sometimes the appraisals go up and down depending on the market. Like right now, we're in a pretty hot market because supply is limited and demand is high. So it's not a good time, I don't think, to convert a house. But back in 2009 and 10, when the values of houses fell, that was a great time to make your conversion on the property. So you would get an appraisal, take that appraisal the day of the appraisal and say, convert this to a Roth, here's the money. And you might have a $300,000 house that's valued at $100,000. And, you know, now today it's probably $400,000 if you did that back in 2009. So you paid taxes on $100,000, but the asset is now worth $400,000, so you have $300,000 of Roth tax-free income, no capital gains, no nothing.
Yeah, which is a really good idea. And in the stock market, same thing. If you picked a couple of losers, and all of a sudden you're down 30 or 40% in your account because you didn't come to investor school and learn how to do it the right way. All right. That was like a shameless plug, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a shameless plug, but it's okay. I just go with it.
We got used to it.
That's what we have this hour for, to do shameless plugs.
Yeah,
but if you do that, then you convert it the next day. And you maybe buy a winter stock and you get all your money back.
Yeah. I mean, or convert that stock when it does come back up. I mean, you know, if you look at the pandemic days, you know, and you bought Royal Caribbean or American Airlines or Disney, Home Depot, all those stocks went straight down. And if you converted to a Roth at that time, you would have paid, you know, maybe 20%. A lot of them fell 80% in the pandemic. Sure. If you would have converted at that point, and then where they came back to now, you'd be making 80% tax-free money.
Yeah, it would be awesome. I actually did that during the pandemic. I converted what was left of my IRA into Roth IRA. It wasn't much at that point, but whatever was left, I converted.
Yeah, and it came back, and you made money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Army, you had a question?
So you lose your work, or you quit your job, okay? And you can take your 401k and put it into an IRA?
Correct.
And the money still stay tax-free?
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you can borrow the money or use this money to buy real estate?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but we got to take a step back. Because first of all, you have to take the 401k and convert it into an IRA.
Correct.
Then you take that IRA money and you buy real estate. Now your IRA owns the real estate. You don't.
I know.
And it's very important to understand that. That's where a lot of people mess up. They don't understand. They think they own the real estate. They don't. The IRA owns the real estate. In fact, you, as the owner of the IRA, are not allowed to touch the real estate, technically. You know, I mean,
you're not allowed to stay in it or use it. You know, you don't want it for your personal house or second home. It'll be an investment. Absolutely,
you can't open a management company and manage your IRA. Your IRA house, you just can't do that. It's the joke is you can't even change a light bulb in the house that your IRA owns.
So it has to be managed by a third party.
Managed by a third party, right? Exactly. You really should not be renting it. You shouldn't be showing up and renting it. Now, the IRS may have a problem with that. Most likely, no one's ever going to find out that you're doing that. So if you own a house in your IRA and you show up and you're the agent renting it, you know, the other person renting it, technically you shouldn't do it. Now, if you didn't charge a fee for that to yourself, you're probably going to get away with it. It won't be a problem. But just be careful if you're renting your IRA-owned houses.
So what's the logic behind it? Why they don't want you?
Yeah.
The main logic behind it is if you're doing work on the house itself, right? Like if you go in there and you're a plumber It's great if you go in and fix a toilet, but what people do is they take advantage of that situation, and the plumber goes in and puts three more bathrooms in, or the carpenter goes in and adds two more bedrooms.
To increase the value of the
property. To increase the value of the property, where they're only allowing you to put $7,000 in a year. So now you're taking money out of these things and putting them into your investment.
So you can buy a rack. And then
rehab it.
Yeah, exactly.
Rehab you can hire the people to rehab it, but you can't swing a hammer or swish a paintbrush.
Well, and also be careful. If you hire a person to rehab it, the IRA has to pay for the person to rehab it. You can't take money out of your pocket.
I understand. It's all the IRA.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any more money in your IRA.
So here's a cool thing.
You borrow it.
That's what we're going to get into. We're going to get into borrowing money in your IRA. But before we do that, I want to give up the phone number. We did fix the phone line. Boy, this is Carl. You came on a day that we had 100% technical difficulties.
God.
We'll do it again.
So I'm going to say we have to have you back. But if you got there listening, 855-939-1137. You can get through the phone now. Before you couldn't, 855-939-1137. Feel free to call. You can talk to us about IRAs. It's an amazing conversation. If you understand money and you understand how to hide money from the government, this is the best way. And the government actually says, hey, thanks so much for hiding money from us. 855-939-1137 is the phone number. 855-939-1137. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deb. And I'm also here with Omri, right? Is that how you say your name?
Omri.
And, of course, Carl Fisher with Camaplan. All right, let's talk about...
Well, let me just say, you're not hiding that money because we have to report to the IRS what your IRA is every year, just like the brokerage houses do, too. So they know what you're making, but they're happy about it.
Yeah.
Because now you're taking care of your retirement.
Yeah, which is amazing, right?
Right. You're not on Medicaid.
As you know, Social Security won't be here. Everybody says that. I know Social Security will be here. I actually one of the few people, as a Republican, I'm actually one of the few people that says, don't worry about Social Security. It'll be here until the day I die. I'm not worried about it. It'll be here until the day I die. After that, 30 years, 50 years from now, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that both the Democrats and Republicans would be literally committing political suicide if they pulled the plug on Social Security.
Well, they're already moving the goalposts up, you know.
Right, that's doing. Sure.
I mean, at 66, I was able to take it. You know, my brother had to go at 66 and 2 months, a year behind me, and now I think people up to, you know, that are retiring the next year or two are up to 67 or 68. So they're raising or moving.
You're talking about
goalposts.
Social Security. So
yeah.
You could take Social Security early. You could take it at 62. But it's not the. By the way, I actually did a class on this one day. I actually did math on what the best time to take it is, and it actually turns out 67 is actually the best time to take it.
Depends on how old you live, too.
No, I know, but I did the math based on how old people live. I mean, look, if you're going to live to 103, yeah, you probably should have taken it at 17, but you don't know that. But I ran it out to about 90, and running it out to about 90, 67 was still better. And then it started to change.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, it's definitely there's definitely a point where you can look at it and see it. I mean, it's an easy calculation.
Yeah, and 62 was the worst of the three if you lived to 90. I did all the math.
Well, it depends too if you're married or not married. You know,
yeah, because if you're married, you're probably not going to live as long.
Well, but the spouse might take. The spouse might take it at 62.
That's terrible. Yeah, what are you talking about? The woman's going to live like 20 years longer than the man.
I know. Don't you understand that? No, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Right. See, you know, you know why men die sooner?
Why is that?
Because they want to.
Is that what it is?
No, okay. <I'm kidding. laughs>
You're like, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm leaving.
I'm going to go home tonight, and the bedroom door
is
going to
be
locked.
Upset with you. Linda, right. If you're watching, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
855-939-1137. 855-939-1137 is the phone number. Now, the cool part is, again, buying houses in your IRA. So now, let's say now somebody moves their money to Camaplan and they want to go buy a house using their IRA, but let's say they have $100,000 and the house is $200,000. So they need to borrow $100,000. How does their IRA borrow $100,000?
Remember I told you earlier, it's like a trust. So what happens is you have to have a non-recourse loan because that's what the federal government has in its regulations.
Okay, so slow down.
A non-recourse just means it's not on your Social Security, they can't come back to your IRA for more money, and they can't put a judgment against you personally for any of that money.
You cannot personally guarantee this loan.
You cannot.
Only your IRA can personally guarantee the loan.
Well, your IRA can't personally guarantee
it. Well, the IRA is guaranteeing it, but the property.
But just the property.
Just the property, exactly. Right, just the property, right. So now if somebody buys a house for $200,000 with their IRA, and they only had $100,000 into it, and then they sell that house for $300,000. Okay, now they've made $100,000, but they borrowed $100,000. Do they have? Is there a tax consequence because they borrowed $100,000?
If they didn't pay that tax back a year before they sold it, there could be a tax penalty, right? That they call unrelated debt financed income. And if it was over a year and they did it, it would be long-term capital gain.
Then stay.
Yeah, the $50,000, $90,000 is going to stay in the IRA.
So even though you pay taxes,
your IRA pays taxes.
Your IRA paid 20% taxes, the rest of the money stays in the IRA.
Yes.
Now, can you actually take that money if you wanted to? No, I guess you can't.
Well, you can take it just like if you're 59 and a half, you can take it out.
Before 59 and a half, you can't because you have to pay a penalty on it.
Correct.
So interest. So that's really interesting. So now, even if you paid the taxes on the small portion of the gain, which is the money borrowed gain, so if in this case it was 50-50, it doesn't have to be 50-50. It could be 70-30, it could be 30-70, it doesn't matter. But you pay taxes on that small piece of gain, but the rest of that money stays in that IRA and works for you more.
Correct. That I mean, when awesome. when you sell that property, you're going to pay the $100,000 back, and you're going to have $190,000 in your account to work.
Because you paid $10,000 in taxes. Wow!
But you have to return the loan.
We just talked about that. You have to return the loan. But the cool part about it is Linda goes.
I just saw it.
Linda put up the. She literally turned it on just as I said that. Right. Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, Linda. I was making a joke. I'm sorry. Next week, next week you'll be Omri and Debbie because I'll be dead. No,
it's a typo. She meant to say I literally just changed the locks.
Sorry. We're reading the Facebook comments, and we've had so many troubles with Facebook. I'm actually surprised she was able to do that. Okay, but getting back to that. So yeah, Omri. So you that money stays in there, and you can continue to make money on those gains. So that's actually a really great idea, even if you are borrowing money and you have to pay taxes on a small portion of it.
But because it's a separate entity, right?
Yes.
You, logically, who pays back the loan is the IRA.
The IRA, correct.
Because the IRA took the loan.
Right.
Correct.
So you make more contribution to the IRA, and then the IRA returned the loan.
Correct.
Correct.
Right. Yep. So you actually made a contribution by lending the IRA money, but you have to pay it back. But that money that you borrowed made money.
Exactly.
But because you borrowed that money, you now have to pay taxes on the portion that borrowed money made.
The percentage of it. Correct.
Okay. Only on the profit, not on the initial investment to the IRA.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Pretty wild. So this is a really great way to accelerate your IRA very quickly.
And you can get these loans from banks. You can get them from other IRAs. You can get them from businesses. You can get them from other individuals that aren't disqualified. You can't your IRA can't borrow money from your lineal ascendants, such as your mother, father, son or daughter, grandparents, etc.
So for a self-employed, for an entrepreneur like we are, I think you would recommend an IRA over a 401k. Am I correct?
No.
Ready for this?
Yes.
I recommend both.
You recommend both.
But when I say IRA, I mean Roth IRA. Here's another
thing. Well, you can have a Roth 401k too.
I was just going to say that. That's exactly right. So at Investor Schooling, we have a Roth, for the employees, we have a Roth 401k. So at the end of the year, my 401k is not tax deductible. But when I take the money out, I pay no taxes on it. In fact, here's another wild thing. And I'm actually going to ask you this because I'm actually on the fence on this because I'm not sure if I'm right about this. But if I go to my 401k right now, if I contributed $25,000 into my 401k this year, can I take that money out of my 401k and not pay taxes on it and not pay a penalty on it?
No.
Okay, I'm paying a penalty, but I'm not paying taxes.
Correct.
Okay, got you. Okay.
Right. So on the Roth component of it, right, you're doing a salary deferral of $25,000.
Right.
Yeah.
But can I take that out before the year ends?
Yes.
Without paying a penalty?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. That was the answer.
So yes. My logic is that the 401k is mainly benefits you if you work for a big corporation because the employer
matches. Right. A lot of people make that mistake and think that's the best reason for a 401k. To me, that's just icing on the cake.
Okay.
You know, you're going to max out your 401k, but you still want to do a Roth IRA. So let's say you work for somebody. You max out your 401k and you still get a Roth IRA on top of it for you and your spouse.
And
that's the better play.
And the real reason is we talk about $6,500 for someone your age, and you can put $19,000 into the Roth component of a 401k and $7,000 in your IRA.
So you can put more
in a 401k. That's why I say it depends on how much you're going to put in. There's rules. But either way, you could then buy a house. You'd now have... This year you'd have $26,000 to put into a house, $7,000 in your IRA would own part of it, and $19,000 from your 401k would own part of that house.
So real quick, we actually have Gary. Like he's one of our favorite listeners, Ice Cream Gary, the ice cream store. What's going on, Gary? You got a question for us?
Afternoon, Larry. Yes, I have a question about whole life insurance. My granddaughter is four years old.
Right.
$100,000 policy with me as the owner would be about $2,500 a year. On an old copy like me, it'll be triple. Now, the rule of thumb is after 30 days, you want to take a loan out on that policy.
Sure.
Now, what interest rate is to be paid back on that money that is to be borrowed?
You should have listened to us 2 weeks ago when we had Chris Noggle here. But so the answer is depends on the company you have. Most companies charge between 4.5% and 5%. There's one company who charges 8%, which is a terrible company. Yeah. I'm not going to mention who they are.
Right.
But there are still advantages to it as long as you're making more money. Now, I would also suggest that you overfund that policy. It sounds like you bought this policy from some average life insurance agent who knows nothing about how to use life insurance as a, if you want to call it a money multiplier. So what I really would recommend you do, Gary, because I want to, you know, we only have about 5 minutes, and I want to stay on the topic of IRAs and Roth IRAs. But you know what? Speaking of life insurance, now you said, hold on, Gary, because this might be interesting to you. You said that you can't own life insurance in an IRA. In fact, there's no reason to is really to me the answer. Unless, if I have a company, because I do have a company, where I buy whole life insurance.
Uh-huh.
So I buy it from people like Gary, who may have a $10,000 in his life insurance policy, and he's thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. And if he cashes in and he gets $10,000, because that's his cash value,
sure.
But I would give him $12,000, for example. I'd buy his policy.
Yep.
Can my IRA buy his policy?
No.
Okay, still can't.
Because insurance is not allowed.
Okay,
now, a 401k... would allow it. Why the IRS did it that way, I have no idea.
But 401k lets you buy insurance. I know that. But I don't know if they let you buy other people's insurance policies.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do? Okay, that's interesting. Okay, great. So anyway, Gary, what I would do is I would actually reach out. You can come to class. You've been talking to us for 3 years. Come to class and reach out and tell you a little bit more about how you should overfund your life insurance policy and make a lot of money on it.
Where does he live?
He lives across the... In New Jersey.
Well, there you go. That's it's just a quick ride.
No, he's just lazy.
Okay.
Gary, you're just lazy, right?
Yes.
Because you're lazy, you call the show every week and you get free information, but you don't get all the information because I can't give you everything in 5 minutes. So with that, Glenn, disconnect him because I don't want to talk to him about free stuff anymore. But thanks, man. I always appreciate your call.
You're a delight.
See you, Larry.
All right. So we got about 5 minutes. Have we missed anything that's important?
I just think that based on the economy that's out there, I think people should be looking to get houses with their Roth IRAs, and I like taking them subject to low interest rates out there if that's the case. So I recommend people open up their accounts. We don't charge them anything. A lot of our competitors will charge an annual fee. We don't charge anything until you actually buy something, because so many times people see a deal, then they come to open up an account, and by the time they get the account and their money over to us, because we can't control when the money comes from Fidelity or Schwab, to that, they lose the deal. So we tell them to, you know, open up an account, put, you know, a few thousand dollars in it so that you can at least implement a contract or execute a contract and pay.
And then move the money over, yeah.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, within the next 12 months that there could be some really good deals coming out.
Definitely. And also, if you don't want to own the real estate, I borrow money from IRAs, other students borrow money from IRAs. It's actually a really great way to make money without having to worry about toilets, trash, or tenants.
Sure. You basically are putting a mortgage on a property. Right. And, you know, people say to me, what's more risky, real estate or stocks and bonds? Well, I grew up around real estate, so real estate is less risky in my mind than the stock market.
Yes.
You know, but some people don't feel that way, and I've got a cousin who's really good at it. But if you're buying real estate or you're lending money on real estate or real estate-related products, I think that those are probably some of the best to put in IRAs.
Yeah, and also, if you're lending money out of your IRA and you're lending it to someone who's buying real estate. Now, I did this in school in class one day. I actually gave a whole bunch of different options of where you could put your money. And one of them I said investing in real estate, and I put at the end of it with an amateur real estate investor. So the interesting part was I proved that someone who doesn't even know anything about how to invest in real estate, it's still safer to put your money with that guy than it is to put it in other places. Now, please,
I'd like
understand,
to see that little, example.
Right? Well, there's a little bit of caveat to that. And the caveat is that the guy got a really, really good deal. And you use your money, IRA money or not IRA money, and you lend it to him. And if he messes it up, you now own the property, and that property is worth a lot more than you lent him.
Oh, sure. I mean, what's the worst and the best thing that can happen?
Right.
Foreclosing on the property.
Foreclosing on the property, right. And the way we teach people to do it, to lend money, is they don't even have to go through a foreclosure process. The property is automatically granted to them. And in fact, if the person who borrowed the money fights the paperwork, the paperwork actually says that person didn't lose, has to pay my attorney fees, your attorney fees, and everything else that has to do with it if they fight the paperwork. Alright. I've got about 30 seconds. I want to thank you, Carl, for coming. Carl Fisher,
thank you.
And real quick, how can people get a hold of you?
CamaPlan.com
and
is the website.
CamaPlan.com.
And you can set up a free consult or give us a call on the phone number on the website.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Go to investorschooling.com and you can take a free class and learn about this and other things. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We'll see you all Thursday night. Thank you.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.